2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. Perhaps a story you've never heard before. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Parphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more then when all he said to you was wash and be clean?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." Would you pray with me? Father God, now as we turn to your word, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts here in this place be pleasing to you, for you are indeed our rock and our redeemer. Now, with the help of your Spirit, would you help us to hear what it is you want us to hear, so you might help us be who it is you want us to be, so you might help us do what it is you want us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We've all been stuck before. First time I remember being stuck, I was 6 years old at Dairy Queen for a nice gourmet dinner with my family. We were in a booth that was nailed to the wall, and there was a space between the booth and the wall about that big. And somehow during my burger and blizzard time, I wedged my foot in that little tiny hole between the booth and the wall. When it was time to go, I finally realized that I was stuck. For how long, nobody knew. My mom came over, tried to pull my leg out to no avail. Then I began to panic because I realized I was stuck in Dairy Queen. Afraid as a 6-year-old that I might live out my life in Dairy Queen. Even more than that, as a kid who loved awards and prizes, I was afraid I was going to miss school the next day. Stuck at Dairy Queen and lose my chance at perfect attendance. I remember having this nervous breakdown in Dairy Queen. All the teenage workers that were paid hourly came with their best ideas. None of them worked. They had to call in the ambulance to come and unbolt the booth from the wall and free my foot. I was stuck. And then just a few years ago when I first moved here, I thought it'd be fun to take my aunt and uncle who were visiting up for a hike to Mount Eleanor. If you've ever been to Mount Eleanor, it's a little bit of a drive. You go about half an hour to an hour and a half if you're lost on dirt roads. We get to the top of Mount Eleanor to the trailhead, and I forgot to put my parking pass in my window. So I go back with all my stuff, open the door to the car, can't find the parking pass, rummage through the glove compartment, and in the mix of all that, left my keys in the glove compartment. Lock the door, begin the hike, and realize about 10 minutes in, my keys are locked in my car at the trailhead of Mount Eleanor. So I roam around up there, find one bar of cell phone reception by the porta potty, and I call Subaru assistance, and they say, "Where are you again?" 4 hours later, a guy arrived to get me unstuck from the trailhead of Mount Eleanor. Stuck! We've all been there. Stuck in an airport, stuck in traffic, a song stuck in your head. We know what it means to be stuck. Stuck implies that we have this deep desire to be somewhere else, but we feel like we have the inability to get there. We've been there. And if we're honest, in some ways, we all live there. For all of us, there is some place in our life that we would like to be, but we just feel unable to get to. Stuck in a dead-end job, stuck in debt, stuck in a lifeless relationship, stuck in a body that's failing us, stuck in depression, stuck in addiction, stuck in fear, stuck to the TV, stuck to Facebook, stuck in unforgiveness, stuck in regret, stuck in the past, stuck in indifference. Have you found yourself yet? Stuck in our life with Jesus. We know that he's on the move. We know that he's always up to something new. But many of us, if we're honest, we feel like we haven't really walked with him anywhere new or been shaped by him in any significant way or loved him with any new depth of love in years. We're stuck. All of us, I bet, can identify some way we feel stuck. The next 4 weeks, we're going to meet some folks in Scripture who I believe might be able to help us out with just that, being stuck. First up is Naaman. Any of you guys heard of him before? Was this your first time? A couple, all right. Naaman knew something about being stuck. He was the commander of Aram's army, a great man, it says, in high favor with the king because he had gained so many victories. Naaman had worked hard. He probably served as an outstanding soldier before ever being promoted to commander. He wasn't successful just by accident. He had gotten himself there with discipline and with hard work. That's how you go up in military ranks. Naaman was something. And yet the story tells us right off the bat, this man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Despite all he had going for him, Naaman had one really big thing going against him. No matter how much he pushed his troops, no matter how many banquets he was invited to attend, no matter how many victories he had won, Naaman was plagued, afflicted with this disease that threatened to remove him from all he had worked so hard for. Even more than that, a disease that threatened to kill him. Naaman was actively dying, and he couldn't do a thing about it. In a failing body, stuck. Step one in getting unstuck, according to Naaman, the commander, name your disease. Be real about what's holding you back. Truth is, in that day and time, leprosy was embarrassing, shameful even. And so I'm sure for as long as he could, Naaman covered it up with long sleeves and tweets about what a great leader he was. But no matter how many times Naaman would sit around the table and tell stories of war victories, no matter how many important people had Naaman on speed dial, there came a real day in his life when his sickness could no longer be ignored. If he was going to be well, Naaman had to look in the mirror and name the very thing making him sick. If he was going to be free, he had to name what had him stuck. There was a day that he had to say the hard truth. I, Naaman, have something that is taking me down and I can't get over it myself. I'm a leper. If he was ever going to be free from it, Naaman had to name it. I wonder if we could do the same this morning. I wonder if I might invite you to see yourself this morning in a mirror of sorts. Feel free to close your eyes if that helps you get to that place. But would you see yourself looking in a mirror? And as you look at your reflection, would you take a moment to just listen and ask your God, what is it for me? What have I been ignoring or downplaying that's actually taking me down? That's keeping me from growing? Where am I stuck? Sitting in the same place that I was months or years ago, though I know that God has invited me to move many times. Where do I feel powerless? Are you seeing it? Are you seeing it? Naaman saw his spots and he named them. What do you see? What do you hear? Step one is to name what is keeping us from growing, to be honest, to be real. What's it for you? Word gets out that Naaman has leprosy. There was an Israelite slave girl in Naaman's home from a former raid, and she told his wife, "If my Lord only knew the prophet in Samaria, he'd be cured." And with that, Naaman goes to Israel. Why wouldn't he go? He's desperate, exhausted every remedy in his own land, and to no avail. If this girl says try Israel, he'll try Israel. Why not? And so he shows up. He doesn't get it exactly right when he goes. She specifically said, if Naaman knew of the prophet in Israel, but it just made more sense to Naaman to go to the king. And you know, all of these thousands of years later, we haven't learned that much, have we? We still go to God very last when we're stuck. Try everything else first, don't we? The king of Israel, he wasn't having it. When he gets this letter from Naaman's king asking him to heal his prized commander, he tears his clothes and he cries out, "I am not God. I can't give life, and I can't oversee death." He's saying, "You guys, you're just setting me up for failure so that when I don't come through, you can kill me. Not even going to try it." And Naaman's heart sinks. Another dashed hope. Ever been disappointed in your own attempts to get unstuck? Naaman gets it. But just being in Israel and stirring up all this commotion in the palace there, the prophet Elisha, you know, the one that Naaman was supposed to go to in the first place, he gets word that there's this foreign leper seeking help. And Elisha summons for Naaman. And finally, the commander is where he needs to be. in the presence of a prophet of God, as near as he knows he can be to the living God himself. Step two in getting unstuck, according to Naaman, show up where you know God hangs out. Just show up. Now, we know that God hangs out everywhere. God was in Aram, and God was in that palace in Israel, just as much as God was with Elisha. But we also know that we are not as open to God everywhere. And those speaking into our lives aren't all equally in tune with God either. Naaman leaves his home behind, and he shows up in the land that God has chosen, just hoping that God might meet him there and set him free. He's close enough to where God is on the move for the prophet to call him over, to hear him, and to invite him. And soon enough, it is that nearness to where God hangs out that's going to send this leper back home, a man who is wild and free. Want to be unstuck from that thing that God began to show you in the mirror, that thing that you already knew about before you looked in the mirror, but you have no idea how to get there? Just try this. Determine to make it a life practice of showing up where you know God hangs out. You want to hear an honest truth this morning? I'm only 34, so maybe I have more to learn, but I've already seen this, and I think maybe it's true. I rarely see someone get unstuck who doesn't choose to worship the living God more than an hour or two a month. It just doesn't happen. And I rarely see someone get unstuck who never gives themselves to any new way God might be moving among them. They just stay in the same old routines week after week, year after year. You know, every other Thursday, about 20 of us have been leaning into this journey. We call it Restored Recovery. And it's all about getting unstuck. And you know, we're just getting started, but each one of us who's been coming would tell you that we are already seeing God on the move in an incredible way in that place. And that's because 20 folks just keep showing up where they sense God might be showing up too. And while that's going on, so many others have come to me in just the last few months and said how desperately they want to be free, how much they need to grow. And I share all these different ways to show up and see what God might be up to. And weeks and months pass without them showing up. And my heart breaks. And they want to pull their hair out, wondering why they're still stuck. You see, Naaman couldn't fix his leprosy on his own. He had to show up to the places that he sensed God might be. He had to put himself in front of the people that he hoped God was speaking through. That's how he got unstuck. In those places where we have been stagnant and desperate for far too long, we can't get out of those places ourselves either. We're going to need a big God to step in and grow us right there. So we do well to show up where this God hangs out. Elisha sends out a servant to greet Naaman, and the servant relays this message. Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. And Naaman storms away furious. He begins to rant and rave. The prophet doesn't even bother to come out and meet me himself, send some dweeb in his place. Does he even know who I am? If he's all he's cracked up to be, the least he could do is meet me face to face and call on his God and wave his little hand over these spots and cure me on the spot without all this fuss. What a joke. And then to tell me that I need to go and wash in this dirty backwoods river, the Jordan, what is that? The waters in Damascus, they're so much purer, clearer, nicer. If there's going to be healing from water, it wouldn't come from this backwoods place. That's for sure. And Naaman marches home. If he can't find his help in some dignified way, in a way that shows some respect for all that he's worked so hard to be, then he'll just stay stuck for all he cares. He'll just die a leper. On that awkward walk home, thank God, a few gutsy servants humbly approach their master, Commander Naaman. Commander, sir, can we just say one thing? You know what that prophet back there said? It wasn't really difficult. It may look silly, but it's not so hard. I mean, what do you really have to lose, sir? Well, besides a little bit of pride. But all he said was wash and be clean. Just try it. We promise we won't laugh at you. We try it. It's worth it. Naaman finally swallows his pride, his need to be in control, and he listens. How to get unstuck, according to Naaman? Give God full permission to dictate how you'll get back to living and growing again. Full permission. Notice who Naaman had to listen to get into those healing waters. Not his trusted council members, not even a dignified high priest, but a servant girl back in his home, and a servant of an unknown prophet in Israel, and his very own servants on the road back home. Naaman had to be willing to listen to new, unexpected voices if he was ever going to be unstuck. And he had to try something totally out of his comfort zone. Something totally undignified, potentially humiliating. And he didn't have to try it just once, but 7 times. God didn't offer a quick fix for Naaman. Instead, he asked Naaman for total humility and ruthless trust and a willingness to be led. That was the only way Naaman was going to be set free. As you've been asking God to help you get unstuck out of this mountain of debt, are you willing to let him lead you into freedom however he wants? What if the solution requires massive downsizing and living simply? Still want to get unstuck? As you've been asking God to get you unstuck from that job that is sucking you dry, are you willing to let him lead you anywhere? Even if it means a pay cut, even if it means a total change of career and having to start over as the newbie, and you're asking God to get you unstuck from depression and extended grief, are you willing to let him lead you to trust your heart to a counselor or to be really vulnerable about your life story with a trusted Christian friend? And you're asking to get unstuck from a lifeless marriage. Are you honestly willing to let God lead you to stay if that's what he wants? And are you willing to follow him into the uncharted territory of being alone if that's how things land? And you're asking God to help you get unstuck from spiritual malaise and indifference. Are you willing to have your whole life turned upside down and to actually be on mission with Jesus Christ wherever he says go, even if it's some really hard places? You see, Naaman had an idea of how he wanted God to get him unstuck. He's like, just a nice prayer by that prophet should do the job. What do you think about that, God? But his God had his own plan. 7 dips in the muddy Jordan River, with all of his servants watching, that would be the way. Not Naaman's choice. Risky. He'd look like a fool if this thing didn't take. You want to get unstuck? God's got to have permission to dictate just how that's gonna happen. And he doesn't need our ideas to help him along. He's got his own. And guess what? His own ideas usually work. Let him dictate how. So Naaman steps into the river. 7 times he goes in, immersing himself in that murky water. A commander, quiet the resume. A warrior who's devastated countless enemies. One who walked in this earth with his head held high, a strut to his step. Naked now in the backwoods river in a backwoods country, partaking in some silly ritual, dipping in front of his servants, not once, but 7 times. And with each dip, this man who had it all was showing the truth that he was just like us, desperate and afraid, and no power over that thing that controlled him the most. His cards had been exposed. He goes down for that 7th dip, and nothing has changed yet. I wonder if he thought about not coming up. After 6, his skin wasn't looking any better. How dumb could he have been? What would one last dip do that the previous 6 dips hadn't done? He should have known better. He should have kept on walking home. He should have put those servants in their place when he had the chance. All these thoughts racing through his mind. And as the oxygen leaves his lungs on that 7th time under, he knew when he came up, everything would be different. Either he'd have a new life, or he'd be the laughingstock of all of Aram and all of Israel. Up he comes, gasps for air, and he looks down. That spot on his arm, it's gone. And he looks a little closer. The spot on his side, it's gone. On his legs, gone. He feels his face. His flesh is restored like a young boy, it says. He's clean. His skin is clean. Even more, his heart is clean. His final words to Elisha, I now know that there is no God on the earth except in Israel. You see, when he let God do the unsticking, he got to know the living God in full. Feel like you don't know this God? Let him have some control, some authority. You'll get to know him. How to get unstuck, according to Naaman? Final step. Whatever God leads you to, see it through. Don't peace out on step 3 of 12 saying, man, it's not really working for me. It's step 3. It's not supposed to work yet. Keep at it. If that counselor asked you for 6 sessions, do whatever it takes to show up to all 6 sessions. If you've committed to restoring your marriage by making Friday night date night, don't 3 weeks in realize you're much too busy for that. Keep to your path until you see what God can do. If you've committed to saving $200 from every paycheck until you've got $2,000 in the bank, don't fudge a month in because there's just something else that came up that you really, really want. This is why we stay stuck so often. We cut out carbs for a day. We show up at church for a Sunday and then don't come back for 5. We give an offering a couple times and then we slide for months. We have a great talk with our spouse, and then we don't check in for weeks. Naaman needed those 6 dips before he got to the healing 7th. Why did God require 7? Because our God isn't into quick fixes. Our God is into our hearts. And our hearts are changed when we have to trust. When we have to choose humility. When we have to say, God, this is dip number 5, your ways and not mine. When we can't control the outcome, God, this is dip 6, your will be done. Our hearts are changed when we prioritize and commit and seek first his kingdom. Our hearts are changed when we choose to keep at it, even when we're not convinced at all that it's working. Just because our God told us to trust him. And trust his process that he is wise and he is good. Each one of those dips, Naaman was saying, God, I'm stuck and I can't get myself unstuck. With each one of those dips, he surrendered himself to God's plan just a little bit more. Trusted in God's heart just a little bit more. Let go of having to be in control just a little bit more. With each dip, Naaman couldn't see it, but his heart was being made new just a little bit more. With each dip, each time he kept to what God told him to do, old Naaman was growing up. You see, when we don't keep at anything God has called us to, we stay stuck. It's just that simple. We can stay where we are, and the same patterns of unhealth that keep us from full life with our God. Or we can name our mess. We can show up where we know God is near. We can dare to let God tell us how to be well. And we can commit to keep at it until we've seen him through on what we know he has said. If we come back to that same year, a few weeks, God forbid, a few years from now, and we find we're still in the same place that we've been, I can tell you this, it won't be because our God didn't have more for us. He always does. It will be because if we're honest, we prefer our stuckness to full life with him. It's a choice. It's always a choice. Feeling stuck? God has told us how to move, how to grow. When we gather in this place next Sunday, because you're going to show up, will we be where we are today? Or will we be 7 days deeper, 7 days wiser, 7 days freer? One day at a time, one dip in that murky river at a time, head underwater, one surrender to God at a time. That's how we get unstuck. Here's the question. You still want it? Would you pray with me? Oh God, you are a God who is alive and active, and that means you are a God who is on the move. That means that you have never been a God who has ever been stuck. Even Jesus taking on flesh and blood and becoming one of us. Everyone said he was stuck that day he was laid in the tomb. And he showed us that God cannot be stuck, will not be stuck. And so we as your people, made in your image, trusting in your Son, want to live unstuck, alive and free, to be with you wherever you're going, to share in your heart whatever you're doing. Awaken in us those places that are sleeping. Expose those things that are holding us back. And would you give us the courage to show up to you until you have your way with us? This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.